me to be able to say the things you would have me to say. Lord, help us to be able to learn about this subject tonight, that we would all understand it, that we would know exactly what the Bible teaches in regards to it, and that we would be able to teach others also. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in Romans chapter number 6, and as we talked about already, the subject tonight, we're going, on Sunday nights, we've been going through a series entitled Bible Boot Camp, and what that means is we're just going through the fundamental, basic, doctrinal things that every Christian needs to know. Just what does every Christian need to know? What are the basic things that you need to know to be able to begin to grow in your Christian life? I know for some of you it's review, but it's good for you to hear it again. And we started the series a couple weeks ago. Of course, we began with the subject of salvation. The second week, we dealt with the subject of eternal security. Tonight, we're dealing with the next step. What do you do after you're saved? And the Bible teaches that the next step is baptism, or biblical baptism. And tonight, we're going to go through, and there's kind of two parts to the sermon. The first part is, we're going to go through and just explain what scriptural, biblical baptism is, number one. And then number two, we're going to go and show all the verses that people like to use to say that baptism is part of salvation. And we're going to go through and study those out and figure out what the Bible is saying in regards to that. Alright? Now keep your finger there in Romans chapter 6. We're going to get back there, but go to Acts chapter number 8 with me real quickly. Acts chapter number 8. Because we first need to answer this question. What is baptism? What is baptism? And you know, the way that we need to understand this. Whenever we practice anything, especially as a church, the Bible needs to be our authority.
Amen.
So we don't figure out what we believe about any subject by what the Baptists teach or what anybody teaches. We need to figure out, what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible tell us to do? What is the pattern found in Scripture? So when we ask the question, what is baptism? We don't open up a commentary. We don't go on a website. We don't read some theological book. We go to the Word of God, and we allow the Word of God to explain to us what baptism is, okay? So, you know, when you ask the question, what is baptism? The word baptism itself means to be submerged or immersed into water, all right? Now, let me show you that from the Bible. In Acts chapter number 8, we find a very familiar story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, Philip was one of the seven servants there in the book of Acts that it was chosen to help the 12 apostles, and he's going around, he's an evangelist, he's preaching the gospel, and the Spirit of the Lord tells him to go talk to this Ethiopian eunuch. This guy was from Ethiopia, he was a politician, he was sitting in a chariot, he had the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, he's reading it. He's going down the road. Philip comes up to him and begins to preach the gospel to him. We could go through the whole thing, but I don't want to for sake of time. I'm just going to... He preaches gospel to him. He presents Jesus Christ to him. Look at verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and eunuch, and he baptized them. Now I want you to notice, when Philip, this eunuch got saved, and we're going to talk a little bit more of that in a minute. But this eunuch got saved, and after he got saved, Philip baptized him. But notice what the Bible says happened when he baptized him. Look at that verse again. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went, notice this word, down. Do you see that? They go down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come, notice this word, up, out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So here we have an example of Philip baptizing an individual, and the Bible uses these words to describe what happened with the water. They went down into the water, and they came up out of the water. Is that pretty clear from Scripture? Okay, keep your finger there in Acts 8. Go to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter 3. So I know you got a finger in Romans, and you got a finger in Acts. And get to Matthew chapter 3. We have a lot of scriptures to look at tonight, so we're going to go kind of quickly. If you're not able to keep up, that's okay. Just write them down or make notes or whatever. We're going to give you a handout at the end anyway, so That'll help you as well. Matthew chapter number 3, look at verse number 16. In Matthew 3, we have the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, which serves as an example of baptism. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went," notice what it says, "up straightway out of the water." Now look, to go up out of the water, you got to first go down into the water. Does that make sense? So Jesus goes down into the water, and then the Bible says when He was baptized, He went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon Him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that happened at the baptism of Jesus Christ. That probably did not happen at your baptism. but this is what baptism is, okay? It's going down into the water. It's coming up out of the water. It's being put underneath water. It's being submerged into water. You say, well, why is that important? Because today there are those who teach that baptizing someone is sprinkling water on them. Or they'll teach that baptizing someone is pouring water on them. Sometimes I'll see these pictures, you know, these pictures that of Jesus, and He's always got long hair. He looks like a hippie, you know. And you'll see I saw a picture of Jesus' baptism. And obviously it wasn't Jesus. But you got this long-haired, you know, blue-eyed guy getting baptized. And you got John the Baptist with dreadlocks or whatever. And he's like pouring water on the head of Jesus. But is that what the Bible says happened? No. The Bible doesn't say that He took a bottle of water and poured water on Him. The Bible doesn't take He took some water in His hands and sprinkled it on it. The Bible says that Jesus went down into the water and came up straightway out of the water. The Bible says that the Philippian eunuch went down into the water and he came up out of the water. Baptism is going down into the water and coming up out of the water. Therefore, sprinkling or pouring is not biblical baptism. It's not a biblical method of baptism. And I would challenge you. You know, if you say, well, I think that sprinkling somebody is fine. I think that pouring water on them is fine. I would challenge you, find an example in Scripture where anyone was ever baptized and that was the method they were baptized in. You won't find it. And you won't find it because the Bible teaches that being baptized is going down into the water. Go to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Look at verse 23. John chapter 3. And I'm going to try to go through this as quickly as I can. This is review for a lot of you. I understand that. But we got to settle it. And I really want to get to the verses of supposed contradiction. John chapter 3, verse 23. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 3, 23. And John also was baptizing in Anon near Salem. Notice this phrase. Because, this is why John chose this place to baptize. Because there was, notice this word, much water there. And they came and were baptized. John chose a location to baptize in because there was a lot of water there. There was much water there. Now look, why would he need to look for a place that has much water if all he's doing is sprinkling water on someone? Couldn't he just carry that in a bowl? Why would he need a whole lot of water if he's just pouring water on somebody? He needed a lot of water because he's taking people's bodies down into the water and bringing them up out of the water. That's what scriptural baptism is. So if you ask the question, what is baptism? It's to be submerged underwater. Number two, when should someone be baptized? Go back to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. When should someone be baptized? A lot of people say, you know, I want to baptize my child. I want to baptize my baby. I just had a baby. I want to get them baptized or, you know, whatever. But the Bible tells us exactly when someone should be baptized. Are you there in Acts chapter 8? Look at verse 36. Let's get a little bit of the context of the story. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, now the eunuch's going to ask Philip a question. Remember, the eunuch is the sinner, Philip is the soul winner. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water." Now notice the question that he asked. He says, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" In other words, here's what he's saying. What's stopping me from getting baptized? They're going on the road. He says, "Hey, look, there's a bunch of water." He's saying, "What's hindering me? What's stopping me from getting baptized?" Look at verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." You see that? So according to the Bible, when are you scripturally allowed to get baptized? After you believe. Because he says, what's hindering me from getting baptized? What's stopping me from getting baptized? And the answer to the question is, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Now notice what the eunuch said. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now you know what happened in verse 37 to the eunuch here? He got saved. Because the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, what's stopping me from getting baptized? He said, well, you gotta believe, you gotta get saved before you can get baptized. And he opened his mouth, and he confessed his faith that he had in his heart. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And notice what happened in verse 38. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Okay, so when should someone scripturally get baptized? After salvation. So we say, well, I was baptized as a baby. Well, look, babies cannot believe on Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? A baby does not have the mental ability to believe on Christ. And in fact, a baby is not even condemned to hell. The Bible is very clear that children are not condemned. When they die, they go to heaven. God does not... I know the Calvinists teach God sends babies to hell. But that is a lie. The Bible does not teach that. Babies are not condemned. Babies do not need to be saved. They do not need to believe. They're not able to believe. So if you baptize a baby, that is an unscriptural baptism.
Right.
Because according to the Bible, when should you get baptized? What does hinder me to be baptized? Do you believe? That's what's hindering you. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we can baptize you. Well, I don't know if I believe it, but I want to get baptized. Well, then we can't baptize you till you believe on Jesus Christ. You understand that? So, when should someone be baptized? Immediately after being saved. Now, you got to understand this also. Baptism should happen after salvation, but baptism also should happen as soon as possible after salvation. You're there in Acts chapter 8. Go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts 16. Acts chapter 8, verse 16. When should I get baptized? After salvation. How should I get baptized? Being submerged underwater. How long should I wait? Not very long. The Bible says God wants you to get baptized as soon as possible. Acts chapter number 16, and look at verse number 29. Acts chapter 16, and look at verse number 29. Acts 16, 29. The Bible says, well, you know what, let's go ahead, just so you get a little bit of context. Look at verse 25, okay? And at midnight. Now, I want you to make note, remember that. What time is it? It's midnight. Alright? And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Paul and Silas got thrown into prison. They were preaching the gospel. They're in prison. And they're not throwing a pity party for themselves. They're not saying, look at me, I'm in prison. You know, they're okay. They're singing praises. They're happy. They're joyful. The other prisoners heard him, verse 26. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, notice this, all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. So there's an earthquake. All the chains fall off the prisoners. All the doors open. Verse 27. The keeper of the prisoner awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. At this time in the Roman Empire, if you're in charge of a prisoner and a prisoner got away, they took your life for him. This guy's sleeping on the job, an earthquake happens, he wakes up, he notices all the gate, and he thinks surely all these guys ran away, and he's like, I'm going to kill myself now before they do. Now notice what happens. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And notice the answer. And they said, it's always the same answer every time, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. Now, verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them, notice this phrase, the same hour. According to verse 25, what hour is it? It's midnight. Right? I mean, it's the middle of the night. He said he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his. And make note of this word, straightway. You know what the word straightway means? It means immediately. Say, Pastor, I got saved today. I got saved yesterday. When should I get baptized? As soon as possible. Some churches will teach, they'll say, well, you got saved, but we're going to wait, 3 years, and we're going to check you out and make sure that you actually got saved. Make sure that you repent of your sins. You know, we're going to wait to see some fruit before we baptize you. That's unscriptural. Some churches will say, oh, you want to get baptized? We're going to put you through a 16-week course all about baptism. Can you imagine going through a 16-week course about baptism? I mean, how much could you say about baptism? And we're just going to, and you know, once you've gone through those 16 weeks, then we might baptize you. Well, look, the Bible says that the Philippian jailer was baptized immediately, straightway, at midnight. The Bible, how long did Philip wait for the eunuch? I mean, in verse 37, he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And in verse 38, they're baptizing. You say, when should I get baptized? As soon as possible. When should you get baptized? As soon as you're able to. Now look, we, of course, when we baptize someone at Verity Baptist Church, people have so many weird ideas about baptism that we like to sit down with people and talk to them about baptism, explain to them what baptism is, make sure they understand, make sure they have the right method. But we don't try to make people wait, you know. Some churches are just like, we baptize once a year. We'll baptize everybody once a year. It's just not scriptural. The Bible says you get baptized as soon as possible. Number three, is being baptized by any religious leader acceptable? Go back to Matthew chapter 3. Remember Jesus got baptized, Matthew 3? Sometimes people say this, well, I got baptized at a Lutheran church. Is that acceptable? I got baptized at a Pentecostal church. Is that acceptable? I was baptized at a Catholic church. Is that acceptable? I was baptized at a non-denominational church. Is that acceptable? Okay, well, here's the question. Does it matter who performs the baptism? Okay? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 3, look at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John. Do you see that? This is John the Baptist. Jesus specifically come to John the Baptist. For what reason? Look at the last part of verse 13. To be baptized of him. Do you see that? So Jesus comes to John to get baptized. Now notice, verse 14, John is a very humble man. Same guy that said he must increase that I must decrease, right? John's very humble. Notice what John says, verse 14. But John forbade him. John said, no, Jesus, I can't baptize you. Why? Saying, look what it says, I have need to be baptized by thee, and comest thou to me? Okay, so Jesus comes to John, says, John, I need you to baptize me. And John says, if anything, you should be baptizing me. I can't baptize you. He's saying, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I don't think I can do it, Jesus. Now notice verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, he said, suffer. Okay, the word suffer means allow. He says, allow it to be so now. He says, John, please do this. I need you to baptize me. Suffer it to be so now. Now, why does Jesus so badly want John to baptize him? Look what it says. For thus it becometh us to fulfill, notice these words, all righteousness. Do you see that? Now, do you see how the first part of the word righteousness says right? Here's what Jesus was saying. John, if we're going to do this right, I need you to do it. You understand that? He says, John, I need you to baptize me. John says, I don't think I should do it. And Jesus says, no, I need to do this right. I need to do this scripturally. I need you to baptize me, John. Now, think about this, okay? In the day of Jesus Christ, there were many religious leaders, were there not? There were Pharisees. There were Sadducees. There were Levites. There was priests. There was a high priest. There was a retired high priest, the Bible tells us about. There were lawyers who were a spiritual, you know, kind of leadership. Okay? There were all sorts of spiritual leaders. When Jesus goes to John and John says, I don't think I should do it, why doesn't Jesus go to a priest and say, hey, can you do it? Why doesn't Jesus go to a Pharisee and say, hey, Pharisee, can you do it? Why does Jesus need John to baptize him? Here's why. When you are baptized by an individual, and you are baptized by a ministry, by a church, by an organization, you are identifying yourself with that ministry. So you say, well, I was baptized Catholic. Is that okay? Well, if you agree that Mary is the mediatrix between man and God, if you believe in work salvation, you know, I was baptized at a Pentecostal church. Well, look, if you believe you can lose your salvation, if you believe in speaking in tongues, then great, have them baptize you. But if you don't believe those things, then you shouldn't have them baptize you. Because Jesus, you know, why did Jesus want John to baptize him? Because Jesus agreed with John's ministry. You understand that? Jesus did not agree with the Pharisees. He did not agree with the Sadducees. He did not agree with the Levites. He did not fellowship with them. He thought they were wrong, so he wasn't going to identify himself with them. Does that make sense? Say, does it matter who baptizes you? Can anybody baptize you? It should be someone you agree with. And by the way, if you're going to get baptized by Verity Baptist Church, make sure this is a church you agree with. You know, we believe salvation is by grace through faith, not of works.
Amen.
If you don't agree with that, you know, then we probably shouldn't baptize you. We believe that salvation is eternal. It will last forever, no matter what you do. If you don't believe that, we should probably not baptize you. We believe the King James Bible is God's inspired, perfect, preserved word without error. If you don't believe that, we probably shouldn't baptize
Amen.
You. What I'm trying to say is this. When you are baptized, it identifies you, number one, with Jesus Christ, but also with the church, with the preacher, with the ministry that is baptizing you. And Jesus said, John, I can't have anybody else do it. I need you to do it. If we're going to do this right. Number four, what is the purpose of being baptized? Go to Romans chapter 6. I'm trying to go through this quickly because we have a lot to go through. And don't worry, you're going to get notes and you'll be able to review this later. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. That's where we started. Romans chapter 6. You say, what is the purpose of being baptized? Well, we talked about the fact that it identifies you with Christ. Let's see that from Scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Now, you got to understand this, okay? He's not necessarily talking right now about water baptism. Paul is teaching that when you got saved, you were baptized into Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that you are in Christ. The Bible also teaches that Christ is in you. And I know that, you know, you say, you just accept that by faith. But when you got saved, you were baptized into His death. Spiritually, you were baptized into Christ. And He says, that's what baptism pictures. Look what He says. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Now, make note of these words. That, in fact, let's just read them together. That, like as. Okay, I want you to remember those words. Let's read it together. That, like as. Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now notice what it says. For we have been planted together in the, make note of this, likeness of His death. We shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. You need to understand this. Baptism is a picture of salvation. It's the likeness or the like as. When someone gets baptized, they are standing there in that water. It pictures the death of Jesus Christ. The water, you know, comes up to them. It pictures the cross. They go down into the water. It pictures the death of Jesus Christ. They come up out of the water. It pictures the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you get baptized, what you're saying is, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the grave as a payment for my sin. And even more than that, what you're saying is this. I believe that when I was baptized, I died to my old man. And I was risen up a new creature, a new man, to walk in newness of life. And what you're even saying one more thing. You're saying this. I believe when I physically die, one day a trumpet's going to sound and I will be resurrected like in the same way that Christ was resurrected. Baptism is a picture of salvation. Okay? Baptism is taking the first step in a Christian life. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 48. You need to understand this about baptism. It's not an option. People treat baptism like, well, I'll get baptized if I feel like it. But Bible says that we are commanded to get baptized. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 48. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. And He, notice this word, commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed them Him to tarry certain days. Okay? The Bible says He commanded them to be baptized. He didn't say if you want to. He didn't say if you feel like it. He didn't say when you get around to it. He's commanding them. He's ordering them. He's saying get baptized. Okay? So just let's review real quickly. What is baptism? It's being submerged underwater. You're going down into the water, coming up out of the water. When do you get baptized? After salvation. What doth hinder me to be baptized? If you believe. How long should you wait? An hour? You know, as straightway, as soon as possible? Does it matter who baptizes you? Well, if you don't care if a Pharisee baptizes you, then go ahead. But if you agree with the ministry of John, then you should have John baptize you. Is it a choice? God says He commands you. Okay? Now, with all that said, you need to understand this. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There are many who teach that baptism is part of salvation. Meaning that if you do not get baptized, you're not going to go to heaven. Because you need to get baptized to be saved. Okay? And they use certain passages to prove that. And I want to go through and just kind of help you with those passages so you can understand them if they confuse you. Or if you're a soul winner, you're preaching the gospel to somebody, maybe they'll bring this up to you. You can be able to answer them and let them know exactly what it's saying. Alright? You're there in John chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So this man Nicodemus, he's a ruler of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. He comes to Jesus by night because he's embarrassed. You know, he doesn't want anybody to see him. And he comes to Jesus by night and he's having a conversation with Jesus. Now notice, Jesus doesn't waste any time. Look at verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you see that? So Jesus says, look, Pharisee, look, Nicodemus, let's just cut to the chase here. You got to get born again if you think you're going to see the kingdom of God. If you're going to go to heaven, you need to be born again. Jesus begins to explain to him about salvation. Now notice verse 4. Nicodemus gets confused. Nicodemus says in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, now notice what he asks. Because what did Jesus just say? He said, except the man be born again, right? So Jesus just got done saying, look, you got to get born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Jesus says, you got to get born again, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus assumes that Jesus is saying, you got to be born twice physically? And he's like, look, I'm an old man. How can I get back in my mother's womb and be born? He's not understanding what Jesus is explaining to him. Now you got to understand this. That is the context of the next couple verses. Okay? Look at John chapter 3 verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now people will take this verse and they'll say, see, you got to be born of water and you got to be born of the Spirit or you're not going to get into the kingdom of God. And they'll say, you got to be born of the Spirit and you got to get baptized. That's being born of water. Baptism is part of salvation. Now, what's the context of that verse? Here's the context. Jesus said, you got to get born again. Nicodemus is confused. How can I be born twice? How can I go back into my mother's womb and be birthed again? And Jesus says, no, Nicodemus, you don't understand. Let me explain it to you. Now look, you got to take verses 5 and verses 6 together. Okay? Notice this. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Okay? In verse 5, there are two births that Jesus is talking about. In verse 5 it says, you got to be born of water, number 1, and of the Spirit, number 2. Do you see that? Two births in verse 5. Okay? Now look at verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Okay? In verse 6 you also have two births. Notice what it says. That which is, number 1, born of flesh is flesh. So we've got a first birth, which is a flesh birth, right? And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You've got the second. So in verse 5, you've got two words. Water and Spirit. And then Jesus gives us verse 6 to explain what those two births are. He says you've got a flesh birth, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And you've got a Spirit birth, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Now look, if in verse 6, the Spirit birth is coincides with the Spirit birth in verse 5, then what does the flesh birth coincide with in verse 6 up to verse 5? It's a water birth. You ever heard a lady say this? My water broke. What does that mean? It means you're in trouble. It means there's a baby coming. Okay, the water, you say, well, you got to be born of water. Look, if you're never born, you can't be born again if you're not born the first time. People say, well, the water birth, that's baptism. You got to get born into the water and then you got to get born of the Spirit. But is that the context of John chapter number 3? It's not. The context is Jesus says you gotta get born again. Nicodemus says, "Well, I can't be born twice physically. I mean, how do I go back in my mother's womb?" And Jesus says, "No, you don't understand. You were already born of the water. You were already born of the flesh. The second birth is a spiritual birth." So, does this passage teach that you gotta get baptized? No. Is the word "baptized" even in the passage? No, it's not. Just because the word "water" is in the passage doesn't mean it's talking about baptism. Okay. Number two, go to Mark chapter 16. So this is a verse that people will commonly go to and say, see, you got to be born of the water, you got to get baptized. Okay, but is that what that verse teaches? No, it is not. The verse teaches that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, and he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, look, you got to get born again, Nicodemus, and it has nothing to do with baptism. Mark chapter 16, look at verse 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Mark 16:16 says this, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? So here we go. People go to this verse and say, see? Right there it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So you gotta believe and you gotta get baptized. Otherwise, you're not gonna be saved. Okay? And granted, that sounds like it's saying you gotta believe and get baptized, right? If the verse ended there and it said period, then that's what the verse says, right? But it doesn't end there. So what it says? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Okay? So here's the question. The word damned means condemned. It means you're going to go to hell. Okay? So what damns a person? Believing not. Right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But what condemns you? He that believeth not shall be damned. Is there a mention of baptism in that verse? Now look, obviously God wants everyone to be baptized. God has commanded all of us to be baptized. But you need to understand this. That verse could say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and that is a true verse. Because remember the Philippian jailer? He came in trembling. What must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What saves you is believing in Jesus Christ. So when the verse says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, that's a true statement. But you know, that verse could say, he that believeth and, you know, does jumping jacks will be saved. And that would also be a true statement. Do you understand that? That verse could say, he that believeth and runs around this building shall be saved. And that would also be a true statement. Because what saves you is believing. But notice, he that believeth not shall be condemned. Go to John chapter 3, real quickly. John chapter 3, we're just there. But look at verse 18. John chapter 3, you understand this? Salvation is believe, 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 believe. John chapter 3, look at verse 18. John chapter 3, verse number 18. John 3:18 says, he that... I'll wait a minute for you to get there because I want you to see it. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, all throughout the Bible, it's believe, believe, believe. And when you get one verse that kind of sounds like you may add baptism, if that was true, then that verse would be in contradiction of every other verse in the Bible. But see, that's why God explains it to us in Jesus. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He says, that's true. Look, if you got saved today and you got baptized today, you're saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Go to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. So people say, see, you got to believe and get baptized, or you're not saved. But no. Okay, forget about getting saved. I just don't want to go to hell. What do I have to do? Not believe. And you'll go to hell. So what do I have to do to not be damned? Believe. I mean, does that make sense? Am I going too fast? I know I've got a lot of material tonight, and I apologize, but salvation is believing. Salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism, you got if you have to be baptized to be saved, you're adding works to salvation. Okay? Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse number 38. Here's another verse that people like to use to say that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. Acts chapter number 2, verse 38. Look what it says. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, you need to understand. People say this. Look, it says, Peter said unto him, repent, okay, and be baptized for the remission of sin, or every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And it says this, for the remission of sins. And people say this. The word for there, see, it's saying, you got to get baptized for the remission of sins. So they'll say, in order to get the remission of sins, you got to get baptized. And they'll use this verse to explain that. All right? Now, here's what you need to understand. All right? The word for means a lot of different things. I opened up a dictionary and just looked up the word for, and there was 15 different definitions for it. Okay? And most of them did not apply to this verse. But let me give you two definitions that I found, okay? One of the definitions said this, in order to obtain, in order to gain, in order to acquire. Here's an example. To work for wages. If I'm working for money, then I'm working to obtain money, right? Now, if we put that definition in the verse, then the verse would say this, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, in order to obtain remission of sins. Now, if that's the definition that you put for the word for, then yeah, you got to get baptized to be saved, right? But does that go with every other verse we've looked at so far? Does that go with John 3:16, John 3:38, John 3:36? Does that go with a whole lot of the scriptures in the Bible? Does that go with Acts 16 that we saw? Okay, here's another definition for the word for. It means because of, or by reason of. You ever seen, you know, you go to the post office and you look at the wall and you'll see like a picture and it'll say like, wanted for murder, you know? Why they want, some of you have been on those type of pictures, you know, you've had your picture on them. Okay, why are you wanted? In order so you can murder someone, is that what they're saying? No, you're wanting because of murder. You're wanted because of stealing. The word of can mean in order to obtain, but it can also mean because you stole something, you're wanted by the law. They want to talk to you. Okay? So let's put that definition in the verse. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the remission of sins. Well, look, that goes with the rest of Scripture. Why should I be baptized? Because my sins have been remitted. Why should I be baptized? Because I've believed on Jesus Christ. Why should I be baptized? Because I'm saved. Okay, now here's the thing. You go ahead and put whatever definition you want, but there's only one definition that's going to fit with the rest of Scripture, and it's because of. You say, well, I'm going to put the definition of in order to. Well, then you're going to create contradiction in the Bible. Does that make sense? So people say, you know, see, look at this verse. You got to be baptized in order to be saved. And if you want for the definition, but look, that's not what it's teaching. It's saying you get baptized because. Why did the eunuch get baptized? Because he believed. What does hinder me to be baptized? Well, nothing, as long as you believe. Well, I believe. Well, let's baptize you. Why? For my remission of sins. Because I was forgiven of sins. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. And you know what? There's something else I want to show you back. Get back to Acts chapter 2 just real quickly. If you're in First Peter, keep your finger because that's where we're going next. But let me just show you one more thing about in regards to that. First Peter chapter number 3. Okay? Just to give you one more argument as to why that's not teaching that you got to be baptized. Okay? Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 37. Because remember, Peter is preaching, he's talking to these Jews there, okay? In verse 37, Acts chapter 2, verse 37, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren. Now notice the question they asked. They said, What shall we do? Okay? So they're saying, What should we do? They're saying, Peter, in light of your sermon, in light of what you just taught us, what shall we do? What should we do? And he says, Well, you should repent. He said, You should be baptized because of the remission of sins. Okay, but compare that to the verse we already looked at in Acts chapter 16. Notice the question that is asked in Acts 16. We already saw it, but look at it again. Acts 16, verse 30. And brought them out and said, Sirs, now notice the question that is asked here. Not, what shall we do? But he asked, What must I do to be saved? You see how that's a different question? He says, Well, what should I do? Well, I can tell you a whole lot of things you should do. You should go to church. You should read your Bible. You should get baptized. You should tithe. You should go soul winning. You should get right with God. I can tell you a lot of things you should do. You know, get saved. Do it all. But if you ask, What must I do? There's one answer to that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that? So that verse is not teaching you got to get baptized. Remember we talked about last Sunday morning about Zacchaeus? The purpose of salvation is not to save you of your sins. The purpose of salvation is to transform your life. God did not save you so you can just go to heaven. God saved you so your life could be transformed, conformed to the image of His Son, is what the Bible says. So, when I got saved, what shall I do? What should I do? There's a lot of things I should do. I should believe. I should get baptized. I should read the Bible. I should be a witness. I should esteem others better as myself. But if the question is, what must I do to be saved? There's only one thing you must do to be saved. It's believe. All right, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I didn't want to forget that before we move on. 1 Peter chapter 3, towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's another verse that people like to use to say that baptism is required for salvation. And I left this one for last because this is the best one. I like this one. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Okay, now make note of the word, of that phrase. Were saved by water. Verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even, now make note of this phrase, baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so in verse 20, you have the phrase, were saved by water. In verse 21, you have the phrase, baptism doth also now save us. People will use this verse and say, see, baptism is part of salvation. Baptism saves you. You need to be saved by water. You need to be saved by baptism. Now, the churches and the religions that teach that baptism is required for salvation, they say the reason, why do you get baptized? You got to get baptized, here's what they say, to wash away your sins. Okay, but the baptism takes you, it washes your sins away. Alright? Now here's the thing, alright? This verse, let's read it again, verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Now, you gotta see this, okay? It says, baptism does also now save us, then there's parentheses. You see those parentheses? Because God knew that people were going to come along and say, see, you got to get baptized. Because when you get baptized, it washes away your sins. And God gets this, puts this parenthetical statement right at the end of that phrase. He says, where baptism does also now save us. And then to make sure we understand what he's saying, he says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Do you see that? Well, baptism washes away your sin. Well, that's not what he's talking about. Because he said, I'm not talking about putting away the filth of the flesh. I'm not talking about cleaning your flesh from its filthy sin. That's not what I'm talking about. He says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Here's what I am talking about. An answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, number one, the parentheses tell us that he's not teaching baptism washes away your sin. Because he says baptism does also not save us, and he says, but I want to make sure you understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about putting away the filth of the flesh. Okay, so that argument's out the window. What's the next one? If you, for those of you that went to school, I know some of you, you know, you were enrolled, but you weren't there a lot, okay? If you remember when you were in school and you were learning about parentheses, what's the purpose of parentheses in a sentence structure? Okay, here's the purpose of parentheses. You have a complete statement, but you've got additional information you need to add that is important or would be helpful, but is not needed to complete the sentence. So you add parentheses to say, this isn't part of the sentence, but it'd be good for you to know this. Do you understand that? That's why it's interesting that that phrase is in parentheses. Because he says, baptism does also now save us. And then God says, this isn't exactly needed for the structure of the sentence, but I want to make sure you understand. I'm not talking about putting away the filth of the flesh. Okay? Now here's the thing though. In a sentence, do you know that you can remove a parenthetical statement and the sentence will still be a completely structured sentence? Does that make sense? You remove parentheses from a sentence and the sentence is still a complete sentence. The parentheses there are there to help you. Okay, so let's read the passage without accusing me of being non-King James. Let's read the passage without the parenthetical statement so we can see the sentence structure. Look what he says. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Skip the parentheses. Look what he says. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Okay, make note of these words. The like figure. Do you remember in Romans chapter 6, he keeps saying, remember these words? Like, as, likeness, likeness. Here he says like figure. What does baptism represent? Remember? The death, burial, and what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, look, the like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us, by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, all throughout Scripture is the same thing. What saves you? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says, I'm going to put in parentheses that I'm not talking about washing away your filthy sins, just so you understand that I'm not saying baptism is part of salvation. He says, look, baptism pictures the resurrection. And he says, that's what saves you. And he's talking about Noah, who also serves as a picture of salvation. Okay, go to Revelation chapter 1. We're done right here. We did a good job. We went through it. And you're not going to have to pay me overtime. Okay, we got through in the time we needed. Alright, let's just review this real quickly. What is baptism? Baptism is to be submerged underwater. You go down into the water. You come up out of the water. Jesus came straightway out of the water. So what baptism is not is sprinkling, is pouring. You need to go into water. You need much water. When should someone be baptized? Immediately after salvation. What does hinder me to be baptized? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then they baptized him. When should someone get baptized? Straightway. Immediately. As soon as possible. If it's midnight, let's just do it that same hour. Let's just get it done. As soon as you can. Is it acceptable to be baptized by any religious leader? If you accept their ministry and if you accept their stand. But if you were baptized at a church that you now realize that was not a scriptural church, they taught a bunch of false doctrine, then that was not a biblical baptism. You should find a church you agree with and be baptized there. Jesus said, I don't want to be baptized by Pharisees. I don't want to be baptized by Sadducees. I'll be baptized by you, John, because you're preaching the gospel and I agree with you. What is the purpose of being baptized? To be identified with Jesus Christ. It is the likeness, the like as, the like figure. You're saying, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, rose from the grave as a payment for my sin. Is it an option to be baptized? You are commanded to be baptized. Now let me just give you one last thought and we're done right here. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Now, do you remember in Matthew 3, we saw that Jesus got baptized. Remember that? In the last last two verses of Matthew 3, Jesus got baptized. Okay, so in Matthew 3, Jesus got baptized. Last two verses. Verse 1 of Matthew 4 is in the same context. You understand that? The Bible originally did not have chapter divisions and verse divisions. That was added to help us. Okay? So, chapter 4 and verse 1 is in the context of the last verse of the previous chapter. So what happened in the last two verses of the previous chapter? Jesus was baptized. What happens in Matthew chapter 4 verse 1? Look what it says. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say this. When you get baptized, you better get ready for a fight. You know, I said this before, but there was a time in our church, and thank God we've gotten away from this now. But there was a time in our church where we would have people like coming to church. They got saved. And I said, hey, you need to get baptized. And they're like, I don't know. You know, and they were kind of just like, they didn't know if they wanted to do it. So, you know, it's fine. I'm not going to pressure them. So they started coming. They were coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of them were going soul winning. They were getting involved. They were getting faithful. And then they said like, hey, I want to get baptized. And then we would baptize them. Never saw them again. And you know, that did not happen once. That did not happen twice. That happened multiple times. And I got to a place where I was just like scared to baptize anyone. I'm like, I'm not going to baptize anyone. I mean, every time I baptize someone, they leave. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I read this verse and I saw that Jesus was baptized. And the next verse, Satan shows up and says, okay, you want to get baptized? Let's see what you're made of. Because what is baptism? It's the first step in your Christian growth. You're saying, here's what you're saying. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Here's what you're saying. I am taking that step. And look, every time you take a step in growth, someone's going to hinder you. Someone's going to fight you. So you say, Pastor Jimenez, I'd like to get baptized. Hey, I'd like to baptize you. But you better get ready. Better get ready. Because the very next verse, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. Thank you for allowing us to be able to study this passage and study this concept of baptism. Baptism is so important and we need to understand it. I pray that you would help us to be able to understand it, to learn it, to be able to